This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome, and let's dive in to the turtle tank.
Splash, splash.
We've got cash.
Splish, splash.
Oh, there we go.
Once upon a time, we were just like you. But then all shell broke loose. Let me introduce you to our talented tank of turtles. They are Brian Murphy, the no chortles turtle.
Hey, I'm not here to chortle.
Emily Axford, the epitome of tortitude.
I'm going to need you to shell me on that one.
Caldwell Tanner, the turtus who puts fun furthest.
Let's take this terrapin for a terra spin.
And our celebrity guest, Jasper William Cartwright.
I flip and love it. I'll take it.
The soft shell turtle Jasper mentioned. And I, of course, am your hero in a half scale. I'm your business liaison, your strategic partner representing your interests in the tank. So here's how the show is going to work. We are going to hear your pitches from players and DMs with unique homebrew ideas, and it's up to our wise turtles to decide if they are worth incorporating, or in the parlance of this show, if the ideas, quote, work for our eggs.
If I can just drop the tortitude for 1 second and say, ask Emily, not as the businesswoman, business turtle, ask Emily, I'm feeling very excited and inspired to hear people's ideas.
I'm also inspired by all the turtle puns. The turtle pivot was good.
I want you to picture like me as a tortoise in like a beautiful pond, and I'm a little shy, I'm a little bashful, but boop, my head's poking out of the water. Wow. I'm excited to see what people have brought me.
Oh, I'm a sharky turtle. I'm here to be hard on your ideas.
Oh.
Yeah.
As a turtle, that's what I'm coming in with.
I'm not here to turtle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You're a snapping turtle. Okay. Yes. Or turtle, I should say. All right. The first idea comes from Tom A. Tom writes, "Hello, turtles. For your delicious eggs, I would like to pitch the homebrew item I like to put in all of my games, the coin of certainty. With this coin, you can replace any D20 roll with a coin flip once. On a heads, treat the roll as a 20, and on a tails, you treat the roll as a 1. I think it's a really fun item, but my players never use it because they feel it needs to be saved for the right moment, a moment that never comes. Do you believe this is a good item to throw in the world, or can it be improved?"
Immediately, I'm like, I love the name. And then when you say my players aren't using it, I'm realizing that it is a tough thing to go from, well, I've got a 5% of a nat 1 to a 50% chance of a nat 1.
Right. Especially for like, if they're saving it for like that big moment, I kind of feel like that's the opposite of what I'd do if I had it. I feel like I'd use it for like, hey, I'm trying to like get some free stuff at like the shop. That's like the perfect time to use it. I feel like there's no way I'd be like, okay, this is the final blow on the dragon. If we fail, we're all dead. Screw it. Like, because there's so much more likelihood that if you just take a roll, especially if you're adding something to it, you'll succeed versus the coin. So I feel like maybe the players need to chill on when to use it. Like, use it as a relaxed time, not for the big ones.
Use it when you're trying to like talk to a guard who's like going to let you into a storeroom or something simple like
or
that.
Or perhaps the coin of certainty, would it possibly be more fun for the players to impose on a bad guy? Like, if they cast a spell on a bad guy, so that they suddenly know that, well, no, because 50% chance of failing.
They could crit on you.
But they could, and I was also thinking that as you get higher, your spell saves get harder to be.
Yeah, I'm with our celebrity guest here.
Certainly.
I think that this is going to be used for like middling situations.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be fun. Yeah, because that's where those middling situations are where it's so fun to be like, oh, I absolutely nailed an interaction with a random NPC, or I absolutely fumbled it.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Or even like if you want to do like a luck check at some point and you want to either make it a 20 or a 1.
Yeah,
that's good.
Go full
too.
Gambling with it, make it a coin.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
I feel like there's a lot of fun, like, yeah, like tavern uses of this. Do you know what I mean? I feel like this
definitely.
Would be genuinely yeah. quite fun if you're having one of those kind of silly sessions where you're just playing around in a tavern and whatever, and it's like, okay, a flip of a coin if you get completely smashed or something, right? And if you get like
totally.
A nat 20, you can just like drink like your way through the bar and feel nothing. On a one, you're going to be flat out and you're going to be so hungover tomorrow. That seems like a really fun use.
You're going to want to save this coin for when your DM texts you and says, guys, this is going to be a silly session.
Yes.
We're going to get a little loose.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm hung up on the fact that this has been market tested. This is in beta at a table and it's not being used.
And it's not working. And it's not working.
Do you think it has something to do with the fact that it's like a one-use thing? I wonder if you added like a recharges after like 1d6 days or something like that, so it feels less precious, if that would help.
Do you know when the moment would be to use this? When there is like a really, really hard save, right? And actually it increases your odds to be 50%, right?
Honestly, it's not overpowered. Ooh. It could honestly probably recharge every day.
Yeah, I don't think it's overpowered.
Yeah, I think if you add a recharge on this, I might be willing to put some eggs on the table.
But like if someone has +2 to con and it's an 18 con save,
yeah,
then having a 1 right might be better. Is that math correct?
such fear in her eyes.
Of course. The math is bulletproof. Yes. The math checks out. No one at home fucking bother. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, don't look. Yeah. Don't look.
I'm going to go ahead and freeze my eggs on this one.
Yeah. Okay,
here's my question before I put any eggs on the table. What in the like 1 in 1 billion chance that you make a mad trick shot and the coin lands on its side, like on its actual side?
I think it's 0.
Yeah. Jasper, I'm not even going to answer that Caldwell-asked question.
No, hear him out. Hear out our celebrity guest.
I only felt comfortable asking that question because Caldwell is here. That's the only way I felt comfortable.
Lands on its side, that's obviously a wish spell, my friends. Right. Obviously.
Okay, cool.
Obviously.
Perfect. All my eggs.
I'm kind of with Jake here. I think this is already been kind of tested. I also agree with the celebrity guest. I think this is only going to kind of work for like middling situations, which is going to kind of take away from the drama that you're looking for.
I think if you want to use it in your game, you have to keep an eye out for a moment where someone's like, fuck, I need to get an 18 or higher to pass.
That's true.
In which case you can be like, or you could use the coin. But I think that's going to be on your shoulders too, because I don't know that it will be on their minds.
Totally. Yeah.
I'd love to throw one more scenario out for this, because I think this is a scenario where I would be willing to put some eggs on the table.
Does it have to do with how the coin lands?
Okay, so listen, if the coin... So has everyone played Fallout, the game Fallout, like the survival, you know, there's like a thing called like Mysterious Stranger in that, where like a random dude shows up and does loads of damage for you. I kind of love the idea of like this being like a random, like a demonic creature or something turns up at like a really pivotal moment and just goes, here you go, you could use the coin if you want to. I just feel like that feels like quite a fun, you know, this creature appears out of nowhere, like occasionally at a random moment, the DM can decide and be like, flip the coin, and it will be like even more than just a success. It will be an outright win if you succeed, but you will utterly fail and maybe a part of your soul goes to hell. I just think that'd be kind of fun.
We talked about this before. If you add the word devil to anything, it makes it a much cooler proposition.
The second you say devil, I hear some heavy metal in my head.
Yeah.
It could also just be a fun summon that you like summon a creature that doesn't roll a d20. It only flips a coin for every attack.
Just imagining a Final Fantasy summon, just a demon flies in and just flips a coin and then leaves if he gets a one.
You have to get heads the second you get tails.
Afreet just got
like
his fucking car and left.
Watching his tail as he leaves.
Yeah. That was a fourth level spell to summon that thing.
All right.
Does this work for anyone's eggs?
I think this is a fun idea, but not for
my
not
eggs.
For my
are
eggs.
On ice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put in some eggs because, as was mentioned before, this could be fun for a silly session, and I'm not immune to having a little silly time at the table. So I'm gonna put some eggs in. pick myself up a little coin. Devils may or may not be attached. We're waiting to see.
Well, does Jasper or Jake want it? Because you guys can outbid Caldwell.
Yeah, yeah.
How many eggs did you put on the table, Caldwell? I need to know the figure here.
Out of my infinite supply of eggs.
Yeah, we have an infinite supply. Just dear listener.
Well, I'm going to honor the coin flip. Actually, yeah, hold on. I'll honor the coin flip, and that will determine how many eggs I put down. It's either 2 or 1 million eggs.
Okay.
Cool. Oh my God, so it landed on its side.
Zero eggs, I'm out.
Yeah. It landed on its side and it summoned a devil.
Shit, the devil's real. I need to go. I need to go get my child. Caldwell just furiously looking for a coin. There's lots of things that have 50-50 odds.
He's looking at a bookshelf right now.
I have so many fucking knickknacks back here. I have no coins.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to commit to the bit?
Oh, that's true. Really can be.
He walked away.
Flipped like a coin.
You know, I think this bit isn't worth my investment. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't want to put my eggs in this bit.
Can I freeze my eggs on this bit?
Also, this is all. He has left the room.
He's not there.
The Zoom is empty. So that he can decide how many fake eggs he uses.
Sitting back down, putting the AirPods in. Here we go. And he can't find a coin. Could you even find a coin?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we'll probably want to like cut right here and then nope. say like, oh, I picked up a coin.
It's all gold, dude.
Hell no.
It's all gold.
What do you mean? I was gone for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
We know.
Okay. So we got... heads will be $2 or two eggs, and then tails will be a million eggs.
Coldwell's investing real money now.
Great we are bet. Really holding great the bet. Audience's hand I'm all for in. This one.
It's tails. It's a million eggs.
Awesome. Jasper, would you like to put in 2 million? Or?
I absolutely cannot go higher than 99,999. Okay. So I'm out.
Jasper had a number of eggs that he knew.
And for me, the coin of certainty, actually the name, I bristle at the name because it's still a coin flip. There's nothing certain
yeah,
about
there's
it.
There's nothing 50-50
shot.
Oh, you're so... But it's more certainty, like I said, in a situation where you're like, I need an 18 to pass.
Yeah,
a coin of certainty becomes more certain.
It's certainly extreme. It's certainly going to give you a 1 or a 20.
It's
one
of two certainties. A coin. Yeah.
I can't have the public poking holes in my branding, and for that reason, my eggs are on ice. So Caldwell, right. This is yours. This is all yours.
Let me just check my tank account real quick. Oh fuck. Oh fuck, that was a lot of my eggs.
Yeah. You didn't have infinite eggs, you had a million eggs and you're done.
I bluffed. I was bluffing. Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Our next hatchling, Diego J, writes, "Good afternoon to the powerful and imposing turtles and the sultry voluptuous turtle bailiff." I'm not.
It's absolutely mixing the shows.
I'm just imagining a turtle with an ass now, like just like a cute little cheeks at the back or just something.
The oh, yeah. hottest turtle bailiff.
So hot.
What the fuck is going on?
Fan artists, get to work.
We've established. We got hot amphibians, we got hot reptiles now.
A sexy turtle with handcuffs.
As someone who went to the Reptile Super Show, I'm going to say, yeah.
You can vouch.
Yeah, I'm going to vouch on that.
I'll put my eggs in that basket.
Okay, hot turtles, a million eggs, let's go.
Is there just a sign when you go to the Reptile Super Show that's like hot reptiles this way?
Yeah. No, they just are all wearing nipple tassels, every right. single one.
They're all hot.
Even the snakes. Yeah. It makes it hard to slither.
It'll fuck around with ugly reptiles.
Okay, bailiff, please continue.
He's not the bailiff.
Thank you.
I recently developed a way to speed things up in battles with multiple PCs, shared initiative. Basically, players who roll next to each other will essentially go at the same time and have a few seconds to strategize before ultimately deciding in what order to attack and come up with cool strategies for their initiative group. I tried it and it led to some pretty fluid combat and less downtime, which is something that really makes large group combat drag for me.
Okay.
I'm seeking to sell 100% of my idea for 100,000 gold and then retire in a spooky abandoned mansion. Also, Jasper... Come on, you gunners.
Yes! All of my eggs. Immediately all of my eggs. I kind of, I'll be honest, I liked the idea, but now all of my
eggs. This is bribery.
Diego's pandering.
I am not above that.
Soft shell turtle.
A good pander, a good pitch. I can't help but get invested in the story of you're going to retire to a spooky mansion.
Yeah.
I love someone who just wants to come up with one idea and then retire.
Listen, you may have won over the other turtles, but the no chortle turtle has some questions.
Yes. Oh, he's frowning.
Yeah. I'm just saying, what do you do, okay, when you start a fight and, you know, you're at the tavern, you find out that the mysterious cloaked individual that you're there to find is actually a demon, throws the knife, and then roll initiative, and you don't get that kind of moment of people not knowing what to do. You don't get that moment of like, oh shit, this person acts first. Are they going to jump in front of the knife?
Well, it sounds like they are in initiative groups, right? So, so it sounds like there actually is still limitation. From my understanding of the pitch, it sounds like if someone's 16 and 18, they are an initiative group. If someone's 2 and 4, they might be in an initiative group. Oh. So it sounds like there might still be...
Mm. The tortitude turtle has the right of it.
Is that correct? Yeah, I'm trying to parse out, you know.
Interesting.
And I guess if like someone's cut off by a bad guy, they're probably in their own initiative still, right? Like if you've got two bad guys either side of you, you're probably still in your own initiative, which might even
interesting.
Feel, you know, that might even feel like lead to some interesting stuff.
It's like a bracketing.
The thing that this makes me curious about how fun it could be is, you know, if you were strict about this, right, you couldn't be too lenient. If someone's 17 and the other person's 18, and then essentially they could be doing their turn at one point, it might be fun to see how people might combo their bonus actions and actions with each other.
Yeah.
I have no clue. I haven't thought about it, but I'm like, oh, that could be really interesting.
The tag team aspect of it is what got me
excited. It is cool.
It's really charming.
It's giving me Marvel versus Capcom vibes.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
Okay.
It's a very good thing.
Because also I'm thinking like what combat does is it often brings a group together. It often like if you're starting out not knowing each other, combat is usually the first bonding experience. And so the idea that then suddenly you're pairing different groups of people per combat, everyone will have kind of a unique experience to be like, we're fighting together this time.
Wow. Yeah. Like I could picture a barbarian trying to like grapple the opponent so that like the wizard could get some real easy fireballs off on him or something like that. It really ratchets up the teamwork.
Well, the barbarian would then also take the fireball.
That's fine. It really ratchets up the teamwork.
I'm thinking like, there's like an oil lamp or like a barrel of something that the barbarian yeets over at the enemy as the wizard shoots like a fireball at it. You know what I mean?
Stuff like that.
I feel like that could get real fun. And not only that, I feel like then you could really like sit down and have a conversation about how you level up and be like, if you take this, we could like combo, you know what I mean? Like combo in certain ways.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I really dig this. I think it could add some really exciting levels, especially for maybe some of your more experienced players. Because I think when you get to a really experienced point, combat can very much be like, I have all of these set moves, which I do like every time kind of thing. And I think it can very quickly become this thing. Whereas I think encouraging players to like work together or use more environmental stuff if they're working together, I think could be pretty sweet.
Well, it almost makes combat more of a puzzle, which is fun. Like if you have like two people like talking out like how they want to approach something, it almost makes it more of like a narrative interaction, which is really fun.
Also, the person who isn't partnered with anyone has tons of fun jokes about how they're all alone.
True.
Yeah, they can really go off on that.
That's the main thing I like about this idea.
I think Jasper and Emily bring up good points that M's like, this is kind of the first way that people bond. So it's really good for beginners to kind of encourage them to work together as a team. And then Jasper brings up a good point that like it'd be really fun to come up with fun combos as like a high level character because you kind of end up kind of just having your tricks.
Oh, that's true.
So at first I was like, this is kind of solving a problem because I'm the no chortles turtle.
Yeah.
So at first I was kind of like, this is solving a problem that I don't personally have because we use the older edition thing. I think it's an older edition. It might be complete homebrew. I don't know. But we allow people to hold their turns.
Hold their turn,
So you kind of can go on the same turn.
Precisely,
However, I hadn't considered what like, you know, like a new table isn't going to know to ask for that.
Yeah.
And if you actually bake that into the game and say, hey, you guys can actually work together, that is actually really cool.
Murph's beak is cracking a grin.
I just may have to chortle.
Whoa.
Hang on. Whoa. Hang on. I'm going to chortle.
Whoa.
If everyone.
Whoa.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
We've never seen this.
There it is.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
First
that
episode
chortle?
In and he broke his no chortle rule. That's his one rule.
Who tickled you? I was trying to say who tickled you in the cadence you would say who hurt you.
Who tickled you?
How would you tickle a turtle?
We turtles have been doing this for well over 90 years and we've never hurt him chortle. So like what an incredible moment that was for all of us.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go ahead, take my eggs off the ice. They Whoa. Are still frozen though, because I went to great lengths to freeze them. So I'm gonna offer, especially because the deal is so great, they're offering 100%. So Diego, I'm going to offer you just a nest of frozen eggs.
just a nest of some amount that we don't know?
Nest of frozen eggs.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's rude to count, Murph.
It's rude to count. Yeah. Especially when they're frozen. They're all stuck together right now, so it's actually hard to break them apart.
It's a big block of eggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big Just block crush. Of eggs.
When it thaws out, it's going to be well worth your time.
Yeah. I think I would like to invest in this. I will add, I think we could button this up a little bit. I think we could really work together on this one. I'm going to try to sell you on this. I think that you really put it in writing. You say like within 5 initiatives, that's when you get to work together. You make it exciting so that when you roll, people come together.
That's cool.
I'm going to go ahead and grab a coin to see how many eggs I'm going to invest.
Okay, so you're going to get in the car, drive to the bank, and then buy a coin.
Murph also has left to get a coin.
He's left. He's actually just standing in the corner now. He's just standing.
Stand there for 3 minutes, Murph. 3 minutes.
I will say one thing about this, though, is that like I wouldn't be too heavy-handed with it, right? Because if it felt like this was the gimmick every single encounter, it might end up feeling cumbersome.
Totally. Maybe it should be like two or three initiative spots.
Yeah.
Maybe just...
I like that. I like keeping it close.
Yeah.
To play Tertus's advocate here, I kind of feel like the problem that it's solving to move combat along, it could make it worse to have people that rolled like 16
that
through 18
chatting.
Talking and strategizing together. I think it should be... If you roll the same number is the only instance it should come up. And it doesn't seem like anything that would save time.
That's what I was about to say.
I think it would just be something that would be cool. Like if you get the same exact number to initiative, you guys get to work together to come up with a cool move.
I think that's exactly what I was looking for. The change that I was looking for.
So Turtle Jake obviously does not believe in you. Do not go with him. He does not have the vision to follow
through on
this. Okay.
But I also had frozen my eggs from the previous pitch, so I could throw on some crushed icy eggs.
They're just cold, Jake. They're not frozen. They're just cellar temp, your eggs.
Oh no, they freeze.
I'm gonna put down a cool 9 eggs.
Okay.
Okay.
That's funny. 9 eggs is how many eggs I have left. Okay. So I'm gonna abstain.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jasper?
I think I'm going to make a pitch to you, Diego, because I love your idea and I think it's very strong. And I actually think that me and Murph could collaborate really well on this idea.
Wow.
So I'm gonna offer you a further 9 eggs to make a total of 18 eggs. And me and Murph will split the share of this idea 50-50.
I love that. So I think there's no way anyone's going to beat us.
So Diego's getting either 18 eggs because I think that Jasper and Murph are on one team.
And mine are hard-boiled, not frozen. Just want to clarify.
And then me and Jake are kind of vibing off another thing. But again, our eggs are frozen and uncountable.
Uncountable.
A mystery pile of frozen eggs.
So we're two business partners teaming up here. Emily and I will roll, and Murph and Jasper will roll. Emily and I, I think we should roll with advantage because we are doing the huge block of eggs, of course.
Okay, cool. I'm the celebrity guest, so I think we should roll.
Yeah. So Jasper also gets advantage.
Yeah. I got a 6 and a 19.
Oh, good Lord.
I got a 5 and a 2.
I got a 5 and a 2 as well.
Oh, really? My God.
Whoa. You get to go together on initiative.
Yeah, we're going together on initiative. Yeah. Me and Jake are now working together. That's how this works. We switched teams.
This idea actually is great because that gave me a lot of joy. Just
okay,
then.
So you guys cancel each other out. Em, what did you get?
A 6 and a 19.
I got a 10 and a 19. That's me and Jasper.
Oh, okay.
That's totally not how advantage works. We would just both do 19, but I choose to read it in our favor.
Yeah.
I'm giving Diego an extra 5 eggs for the Arsenal reference. Thank you.
So purchased. Our next hatchling writes, this comes from Lank. Hey, Tortles. Today, I have one of my oldest and most beloved homebrew rules. Our table shares a dice box for rolling, and it has been a longstanding tradition for things like initiative, group checks, or anything else that would have more than one player roll, that you can hit another player's dice to try to change a roll for the better. It really brings a fun energy to the table and has the chance of making things worse.
Take all my eggs. Anytime you're fucking beaming another dice with your D20, I'm in.
You're fucking doing Bakugan battle spinners with your dice?
Nothing better than an erratic throw of the dice in which you lose a D20.
Could you imagine Box of Doom Brennan rolls and you just yeet and a dice straight at him just to try and change it?
I'm very curious what the No Chortles Tortle thinks of this.
This is chaos. Okay, Jake, can you refer back to the hatchling? The hatchling says that they use it for initiative and a bunch of things, right?
Yeah. Initiative, group checks, and anything else that would have more than one player roll. So it's used.
So like okay, instead like of
one person roll.
Is it essentially instead of advantage?
It says no. Okay, so I'm going to do a generous read, and it sounds like it's when the whole group has to roll for something. So it's actually not as chaotic as maybe we first thought.
Yeah.
It's not like every single time you attack, everyone can just chuck dice at it.
I figure everyone gets it. Once a day. And instead of a luck check, it's like a fuck check. And then he just like...
All right, I'm investing in the fuck check.
The fuck check?
Yeah, if you'd call it that, then I'm in.
Fuck point? I think everyone should have 3 fuck points.
You need so much stamina for 3 fuck points.
If everyone is rolling, they're rolling into a tray and... Players can try to knock the dice onto higher numbers.
So I think it's roll. Okay. I think it's a roll, and then everyone can just chuck their dice at that roll.
I still rather understood this. I still somewhat understood this.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's fun.
Oh, it's very fun. I worry that it would lead to people bringing bigger and bigger and heavier dice to the table. To try and like get an advantage with like the heft of their dice, almost pog rules.
Okay, here's what I'm gonna say though: those big heavy dice never roll well. Murph always buys those big ass like overly masculine metal dice.
I don't buy. I get them sent to me.
Compensating much
or anything.
Oh my god,
that was your problem.
You learn a lot about it.
I didn't do anything.
When I went to the studio, the first thing Murph did was sit down and go, "Hey, dude, let me show you my big metal dice." And just got out this briefcase. It was a briefcase filled.
Don't you drive a monster truck too, Murph?
He always has these horrible metal dice that just like thud onto two.
For one season, that was a sci-fi season. And I was a big metal dude. I had metal dice as part of my dice tray that were sent to us by the lovely fans of NadPod.
Okay, well, they did. They rolled very poorly.
They rolled very poorly.
And they shook my confidence in metal dice.
That's more of a Murph problem than a metal dice problem, I would say.
The fact that they were the same size as his testicles is neither here nor there. it just doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. Could we make truck nuts that are 2D20s? That would be kind of tight.
Holy shit. Whoa. Holy shit, we're going into the tank and I love it. Keep talking.
I almost want to make that to just see what tiny of a Venn diagram between MadPod fans and Truck Nuts people.
There's one person is out there being like, yes, Yes!
Yeah, what halfling bard drives a Ford F-150? That's what I want to know.
Whoever you are, I love you.
Yeah.
You are a rare, precious gem.
Yeah, just like one ironic 19-year-old. That's about it.
I really dig this idea as well. I feel like the fact that there's like a special battle arena somewhat built for this,
yeah,
where like everyone throws their dice in and there's kind of like a spectacle to it, that really gets me excited. That really boils my eggs, I'll say.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and toss in a few eggs.
Yeah, my eggs are hard-boiled right now for sure. Yeah.
I said it from the start. I'm all in. I love beaming a dice with another dice.
Should we toss some of our eggs into the pit and see which egg wins?
This is market-tested. These players love this tradition.
Yeah.
I think that bodes well.
I do have a question, because I'm picturing some really intensely beamed dice. What happens if you hit someone else's dice and it changes it, but it hits another dice and then changes that?
I think
that's the ripples of fate.
I think it's just the one dice that counts.
I kind of think so.
That's the only way this would make sense, I think.
Okay.
Is if it's
no, I think it compounds.
I think so,
I think
too.
That, like, once the dice are in the pool, I think that is fate has...
Well, wait, but then why try to hit another dice? You're just rolling.
If they got a bad roll, if they've rolled, it's on a one. You could then beam, try and hit that one dice, but if you hit someone else's, that's just the way the dice fall, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
You could be trying to beam them
you
up.
You knock over someone else's 20.
That, to me, is less interesting than... We're going to do a group roll for this. M decides I'm going to roll. And then you guys throw the dice trying to hit her dice to make it a better roll. It's much more interesting to me than it being like, you guys all roll and then you can randomly hit each other's dice and stuff. That just feels...
We are saying the first thing. We're not saying everyone rolls at the same time. But we're saying that like... If a thrown dice tries to knock over... If you're aiming for Emily's one... you hit Emily's one and also Caldwell's 18 or something, and they both roll over. Everyone has to take the hit dice roll.
Got it. I don't get it if it's a group check why Caldwell's dice would count.
Well, that's a little rude, but okay.
No, I'm saying...
I think also in general...
Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, because it's like initiative, right? Like, as in, like, if it's initiative, like, everyone needs a result, right?
Oh, they're doing this for initiative?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's crazy. My turtles are out.
I love it. I think it sounds fun.
I think a group check, a luck check.
Like everyone has fun doing this. I get why they have fun doing it. It's just another...
It's too rich for my eggs.
And in fact, I wonder... I really like the idea that, like, I guess once a day is too insane, but that everyone has like a once a campaign that they can try to undo someone's bad roll.
I love just nudging, trying to nudge
towards a better future. I really appreciate that.
If someone is ever like trying to give the help action, they like really haven't earned it. You could just be like, you can't give the help action. You can't roll with advantage, but afterwards you can chuck a D20 at their D20 and try to change the roll.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands.
And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So, if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
Wait, I've got the perfect branding for this. It's the Chuck Check.
Chuck Check.
Nice. Chuck,
that's
Chuck
good.
Check. Okay. I think I'd like it even more if it was like at the end of the table and it was like a bowling situation where it's actually quite a hard shot to make as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you've really got some skill to even hit the dice in the first place.
Oh, that's
like
fun.
I've just done a Chuck Check like 7 times here and every single time I made the roll worse.
Yeah.
That'll very interesting. Very yeah, interesting.
I think it's weighted against you, really.
Okay, let's crack some eggs. It's time to put up or shut up. Let's go around the horn.
Right.
What's everybody think? Are you in on the Chuck Check?
I'm going to put up my whole brood.
Holy shit.
I love
every one of your eggs?
Whoa, you're fucking clutch.
I love
all of your infinite eggs?
Okay.
It's so stupid. I love it. I get why your players love it.
Yeah. As I mentioned before, canonically, I only have 9 eggs left. So I'm just going to take one of my proudest and best eggs and just huck it at Emily's clutch as hard as I
yeah.
can.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
I think I will take 2 of my eggs and just beam it at Caldwell. just to see if I can change Caldwell's number. I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm actually going to be out on this one. I'm all for chaos, but I feel like this one, I think this probably says more about some of the people I play with. I know for a fact that some of the people I play with would be like, hey, you got an at 20? And then like would chuck it and ruin someone else's role.
It should never be used like that.
Yeah. No, yeah. Mm.
You have to use it responsibly.
So I'm going to say, come back to me when we have really clear established lines. And there will be some eggs on the table for you.
Yeah.
When we have some real clear lines on how to use this, I'll put some eggs on the table.
The clear lines I would put out there is that we actually do use this sparingly so that it is a special opportunity when it comes up. And
certainly.
We don't do vindictive mean ones for no
reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea of doing this as a group check where one person's rolling and then other people can affect it. As far as initiative and stuff, it's a little too rich for my eggs. You're not gonna want to take notes from me when Emily Turtle clearly believes in the business. So as she just throws,
I've
dice.
Never once made it better. Always make it. Which only sells me more.
Jake, can you beat Emily's infinite eggs?
I cannot beat Emily's infinite eggs, but I do want to throw my hat in the ring to be in your employ as a brand ambassador.
Whoa.
I will go table to table hucking dice at different DMs to spread the gospel.
Like next live show, either Emily or Jake, just at a random point in the show, just get up and throw a dice at someone else. Like that would be great.
We actually and do just, that. We do throw our dice into the crowd.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know about that one. That Chuck Jack.
As an addendum, I would like to sue Jasper for the damages I have incurred from the eggs he threw at me.
Yes. How do you think we got all of our eggs? We are very litigious turtles.
We all just sue each other. That's how it goes. Yeah. Just move around.
We have friends on the Supreme Crit.
After 12 Chuck Checks, I finally got one that made it better.
Yeah.
Hey, 1 in 12. That's not bad.
So we know that it works.
It's all better right. than 1 in 20.
So Emily we know has that it makes
Emily has
me
purchased
laugh.
This one.
The Chuck Check belongs to the Turtle of Tortitude.
Our next hatchling, Daniel I, writes, "Hello, turtles and tortoises. Today, I'm pitching a system to put the allied NPCs and hench people to work for the party. Groups of followers can be sent as a B team to take care of minor plot hooks or investigations. Their success is determined by 2d6 rolls at the end of their side quests off screen. 1 through 6 is a failure and a new threat. 7 through 9 is a success, but with a cost, and 10 plus is a complete success and a new hook. Have an unused magic item? Give them to the B team on their quest. Can give them a +1 bonus for each item up to a cap set by the DM. Put those side characters to work and leave no loose thread untugged."
Well, this seems really thought out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mechanized.
The tank has gone silent. I'm hearing no bubbles.
Well, I at this point threw all my eggs into an idea that no one else was really competing for.
Emily got into a bidding war with herself.
Right. This is essentially outsourcing adventures.
I would say this is kind of solving a problem that I don't have, which is that I like to do stuff in D&D. I don't need... I wouldn't even want to do the 4-hour work week thing in real life, let alone in a fantasy world, I guess. I'm wondering who needs this.
You might just not like D&D if you want to play it this way.
Well, the thing I don't mind is that sometimes an NPC has a thing that they need to do, and you're like, love that for you.
Totally. Yes.
Wouldn't mind doing it.
It's also, we're very used to playing narrative D&D, where we're not sitting there and being like, every single NPC you talk to has like a job board thing, or has, you know, like if you read, for instance, like any kind of module, or you know, like the pamphlet that comes with the starter set and everything, it'll be like, this person wants to do this, this person wants to do this and everything. And for a narrative thing, you're not gonna wanna do like a job board where you're gonna go get 20 gold to go wipe out this camp or something like that. So I could see it being useful in a thing like that, where you're essentially just gambling on the side. Like, we don't want to go take this one bounty, but maybe we'll send these guys to go do this bounty and they'll cut us in.
I feel like it inherently creates this weird division where you've just got like a company of Balnors out doing missions for you.
Right.
And like, they're going to get resentful at some point. Like, they're going to realize that they're the B team and they're going to want to challenge you for your stake as the leaders of the party.
Oh, interesting.
If I'm an NPC and I don't have a magic weapon, and then some random person says, "Hey, will you go collect these pumpkins? Here's a Vorpal sword."
Will you go collect these pumpkins? We all agree. We're tired of collecting pumpkins.
We're done.
We're tired of it.
Murph cuts so many pumpkin collection scenes
for
NADPOD.
Every single time you guys get to a new town, there's an NPC looking for his pumpkins. He's trying to get his freaking pumpkins back.
That has some fucking tragic backstory, and then we have to go fucking collect pumpkins with it.
My pumpkins rolled down the hill. They fell down the hill. Can you go get my pumpkins?
A long time ago, my wife and I used to grow pumpkins.
Yeah, we never released that 8-episode pumpkin arc. Original Bohemian campaign.
The Pumpkin Chronicles. That was a campaign one. That was
Matt Mercer guested on that.
He was the voice of the pumpkin guy. not the pumpkin king, Jack Skellington, no, but the pumpkin guy. The pumpkin guy, yeah. He was replaced by old Cobb later. He was integral to the storyline,
I feel like it's like that guy from random towns and stuff in Avatar, The Last Airbender, who's like got the cabbages that always get destroyed. It's like in NADPOD, there's just always, there's always a pumpkin guy. And he's always like, "Please help me with my pumpkins."
Always the pumpkin guy.
"Please, if someone can help me with my pumpkin." Okay, they got again.
"I can't find my pumpkins." I honestly think if I floated that to any of your guys' characters, you would be so invested. I will dedicate my life to getting your pumpkins.
But that's the thing. That's the thing, is we wouldn't send NPCs after these pumpkins. We'd be like, sir, we will go to the ends of the fucking earth to retrieve your pumpkins. You will be dining on pumpkin soup tonight, my friend. We will help you.
If anything, the NPCs would be doing the main stuff. Like, all right.
Go fight Galad. We need to go get some pumpkins.
I quite like this purely because I really enjoy making the world feel as big as possible. And like, especially at the beginning of a campaign, I love the sensation of like when my players feel small and like there's lots of stuff happening around them. So I quite like the idea that you could kind of make it feel a bit more lived in with like a very simple mechanic. Because the thing is, it's not a huge amount of extra work for the DM to just be like, cool, I'm going to roll 2d6 and we'll see what happens. But there'll be some repercussions. Do you know what I mean? There'll be some fun.
Yeah.
Like, if you like, oh, there's a wraith attacking this town, you don't go and help, you send the beast squad in and they fail, maybe that town is now a bigger issue or a bigger problem. You know what I mean? Like, I quite like that.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
It really gives you a lot of opportunities to, like, develop hooks for down the line and to, like, have story threads that you can tug on if, like, your characters are ready to move on. So I like it for that reason. I just don't know if it's a fit for my eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My eggs are long and thin and leathery because they're turtle eggs.
Oh,
your
no.
eggs are long and thin? You should get yourself a big dice.
Yeah. Eggs are long and thin?
You need to go to a vet, dude. You need to absolutely go to a vet.
You totally need to go to a turtle technician.
I was going to say, I don't know if any of you guys have played Earthbound, but there's two kids in it that are named Apple Kid. Would you stop just rolling random dice in the background? It's making so much noise. She's throwing dice in the background while I'm fucking talking.
This is how good that fucking idea is.
I turned a four into a two.
It's banging everywhere.
it really just shows how fucking popular that would be. Everyone at home is trying it now too.
I don't know if it's relatable.
I gotta
but
do
I
it
know
one
that
time.
Certainly no professional podcasters are doing.
I just turned an 18 into a crit. Okay, I turned
That's
an 18
great.
Into a crit.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
As I was saying, there's two adventure
kids.
One is named Apple Kid, and one is named Orange Kid. And you can invest in them, and they make inventions for you. Orange Kid sucks, though. It only makes you a broken machine, whereas Apple Kid makes you really good stuff that helps you later. So if you were to change this, and instead of having it be random job board stuff where you have employees, you can invest in an inventor, and then they give you stuff throughout the campaign, I think that might be a little more fun.
I like that idea.
I think your thing was more disruptive than Emily's. I really It was more of a tangent.
Emily, please keep rolling dice. That was my favorite thing that's happened in like the last week.
I do like your idea though, Murph, that if you guys were sending money to, like, if you essentially were the patrons of a blacksmith and then this person, because I think that their system for like finding out success seems kind of fun.
Totally.
I like it.
Yeah. Ooh.
This is basically like you're subscribing to people in your world's Patreon. And I like that idea.
Yes, 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 yes.
Love that.
I'm saying... Put Apple Kid in your games.
Get Apple Kid in
Get
there.
Get Apple Kid in there.
Do you have the big brass dice to put Apple Kid in your game? Let's find out.
So whose eggs does this idea work for?
This is definitely works for my eggs. I mean,
great,
definitely great. In. I'm going to make a big bold offer of 100 eggs. I think this is fun.
Wow.
I think this is a really fun idea. I like how easily it's resolved, and I think it is a great way for me to, and for all DMs, to make their worlds feel even more lived in and alive. And I love that. So yeah,
and get those pumpkins found.
And the thing is, and it will be exclusively pumpkin themed quests. That they have to go on.
Jack Skellington's brother, the pumpkin guy.
Yeah, yeah. Every bad guy they fight has a pumpkin on their head, and it all leads up to B Squad fighting a pumpkin dragon. And I'm really excited about it.
All right. Well, now my eggs are tingling, Jasper.
There we go.
You're really getting me excited
there
about
this.
I've emptied my clutch, but I made a couple more eggs when you talked about fighting a dragon with a pumpkin on their head.
That's the beauty of eggs.
She shit out a million eggs. She's back in the game. She's absolutely back in the game.
You got to make them to sell them.
You can't print money, but you can lay eggs.
Put that on a t-shirt. So I think Jasper's investing in this one, unless anyone else
Jasper.
Is.
No, I think Jasper's got this cool. one.
Wow. All right. Jasper's walking away with it.
I would like some of the pumpkins that Jasper gets, yeah. though.
All right. Ideally.
Why don't we do one last one?
Yeah. This will be the final idea from our hatchling, ooh. Kevin W. Kevin writes,
approach the tank, Kevin.
Approach the tank. Put your hand up to the tank.
Five tiny turtles.
And we will
inside.
Put our turtle fins up there.
Please put your head in the tank so we can hear you, please. Because we can't. It's yeah. If you're outside the tank, we're in the tank. We can't. If you could just.
Yeah, if you could gargle yeah. this idea into the filter.
That'd be great.
I don't know if you've seen the movie Arrival, Kevin, but we're going to need you to play it like that, Kevin.
Just steam up the outside of the tank a little and write a little message. That'd be great.
This is very fitting because Kevin is actually the one person that didn't really introduce or address us at all.
Great, great. Perfect.
Kevin writes, Fleshy, the clockwork sneaky doll. Fleshy is a clockwork stuffed doll made up of a rabbit's body, metal skeleton, turtle shell on its back, and teeth from a lizard. He gives advantage on stealth checks, but every time you use him, you have to roll a d20. On a 1, he jumps out of your arms and runs around screaming, "Hi, I'm Fleshy," at the top of his lungs for one round.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right,
here's
all
what
right.
I like about this. I remember from yeah. that Winter Solstice one shot I did like for like a mixed bag yeah. forever ago, I had mm-hmm. found in Kobold Press like this rabbit. I can't remember any of the details, but it was basically like a rabbit that like looked really cute, but like could essentially secretly siphon your blood from you.
Yeah.
So wow. I do like something that you think is going to help you, but secretly.
I guess my question is,
yeah.
How does Fleshy help?
advantage on stealth
advantage
checks.
No, but I know, but like, what does that look like?
Oh. Yeah, how does Fleshy accomplish this?
I think Fleshy uses their lizard teeth to give you a bony little kiss that inspires you to be really quiet.
They have the body of a rabbit, right?
Right.
So, and rabbits are yeah. really quiet. So maybe okay. they fill the air with the sort of white noise of the pitter patter of rabbit feet.
Okay. Yeah. Generous read.
Here's how this is going to work for my eggs. Here's how we're going to yeah. create a little narrow slot that my eggs can fit through.
God, I wish I didn't know what your eggs look like.
So thin.
So thin.
It's actually what turtle eggs look like. Go look it up. I think that the way that Fleshy works is that Fleshy is causing a distraction irregardless. Like, Fleshy is there to distract whoever you are trying to sneak away from. And on a 1 out of 20, the guards, whoever Fleshy is distracting, just doesn't like Fleshy's deal and is going to look past them. Like, Fleshy is going to do a bad job on a 1 through 20.
Oh, interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, so like, mm-hmm. it looks just like a regular rabbit kind of crossing a field or something. That's distracting.
Yeah.
But on a 1, then it stands up and yells, "I'm Fleshy."
I don't know that we've landed yeah, on how Fleshy is helping.
I would like to suck some eggs back in, which is how much I would like to not invest in this.
But Murph, they're so thick.
Yep, they're coming back in.
I think that Fleshy is like a very creative and evocative, yeah. and I like mm-hmm. I like what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
It's not yeah. going to work for my eggs, but I'm inspired that you're in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you should make a Fleshy comic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we
and
go.
And then we can see about yeah. it. Yeah, about adapting it.
In my head, I'm picturing the DM's voice for Fleshy, and it's getting a lot of laughs at the table. Fleshy is a hit. Fleshy's got a real weird, raspy little voice.
Let's hear it.
It's Fleshy!
Okay. I'm out.
Something like that.
Caudle has done. So much for this idea.
Oops! They saw me!
Yep. Wow. Okay, I'm back in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know, because you want to know what? Actually, I think that there's too much buildup of what it's going to be, right? Because you know you have this item, and then you're like, oh, it's going to be this crazy moment when it says its name that kind of nothing can live
also,
up to that.
Also, there are lots of moments in stealth where it's like funny to get caught, and then there's lots of moments in stealth where it's an actual interesting big part of the campaign where you're like, you're sneaking in, you're hearing the evil king tell one of his minions that the bad things he's going to do. And then to have Fleshy just undercut literally every moment of drama in your campaign is.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, you're going to use Fleshy, so you have to describe Fleshy helping.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-oh, Fleshy dropped his soda!
I'm out of here.
Fleshy. Something like that.
Yep. Interesting.
So I think for me, with all these items, if you're gonna go for like a chaos item, it needs to be like real chaos. I'm talking like, you know, on a one, Fleshy just explodes or something completely.
Yeah, there we go.
Do you know what I mean? But on like a 20, yeah, Fleshy turns into like a 10 foot, 15 foot version of itself, and you can ride its back, and it's got a movement speed of 60. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's got to be something like real wild for me. I feel like this is like a little too safe. You know, I feel like Fleshy, the description.
I think I agree.
It need, like, all of the stuff is, all the ingredients are there for a real chaotic soup, which I could crack my eggs in ramen style and have on the top, and it would be lovely.
Ooh, soft boil them.
Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? But I feel like at the moment, it's like more of a broth, and I don't know how I feel about putting my eggs in a broth. I want a ramen.
Ramen. I agree. I think I agree. I think that's kind of
I like
what...
the exploding, because that gets rid of the Fleshy problem.
I'm Fleshy!
Fleshy will miss you most of all.
Just when you're starting to get tired of the Fleshy joke, it explodes. That's a good fix. That's a good fix.
On the group chat without the DM, you're like, I just feel like the DM really loves playing
Fleshy. He loves
Fleshy. But I don't know how to interact with him.
Yeah. I was trying to sneak up on my dad to see if he would accept me, and then Fleshy screamed that his socks got wet. And I don't know where he got socks.
He's not wearing them.
Yeah.
So Fleshy exploded and his voice box landed somewhere and we can't find it and it just keeps going off. And we're still trying to find it.
That's a good gentle way.
I'm Fleshy.
He's like running out of batteries. Yeah, exactly. Just no, please. We need to find it.
The DM's like really still trying to make it work, and you hear Fleshy go like, please tell my son I love him as he explodes.
Fleshy had a
child. We're not gonna find your son.
Oh god, he really loved doing that voice, didn't he? He made Fleshy have a child.
Yeah,
that means that Fleshy Jr. is fucking coming for us.
I would definitely send the bee party to go find Fleshy's family. That's how we can tie the two ideas
Perfect use. I will lend you my idea.
Apple Kid, you're making inventions. B team, you go find Fleshy Jr.
Does anyone want to invest in Fleshy?
I will invest 25 eggs if they can come back to the table with Chaos Fleshy. I'm thinking something like Mega Fleshy or The Fleshy, which is extreme chaos version. Absolutely eggs on the table for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, throw some wild magic into that Fleshy. Yeah. I'm gonna chip a few eggs Jasper's way.
I'm going to buy in for eggs on the dollar, just a real low ball offer. I will not change Fleshy at all. I think it's perfect as is. I think what you have is a marketing problem. You have a brand awareness issue. And for 85% of the company, 85% of Fleshy, I will hit the road and tell everybody about Fleshy.
You'll just get the word out.
Sorry, Jake. So you think the thing that's not working about Fleshy is that not enough people know about Fleshy?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to do sort of like integrated tweets and...
You're going to go to McDonald's and you're going to be able to get the Fleshy meal.
Yeah.
It's going to be a custom takeover at McDonald's.
A Fleshy toy.
Yeah. You guys seen the Lego movie? How about the Fleshy movie? That's interesting.
See? Okay. But see,
and I have a nephew that interned at Paramount. So yeah, I think I have an in.
I like the character you've come up with. It's just, I don't know if it belongs in D&D. Maybe it's better as a movie.
And it could be a movie.
It's true.
And it could be a restaurant. It could be a town somewhere. We could do a brand takeover with guerrilla marketing. I don't see why Fleshy isn't a DJ.
He's gotten lost in the tank. And we were
Fleshy
so close.
Should be at Coachella
this year.
We're so close
to the end of the episode.
Hold on. I'm gonna call the attendant that feeds us to get the net and get Jake out of the tank.
Jake, how
she's throwing dice. everywhere.
That one was a 7 to a 19, baby. Woo!
You have to stop.
I turned off the AC in this room, which is like 40 degrees. So I was like, oh man, I hope I don't mess with the sound. I'm like, well, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just banging.
Wait,
I'll add some dice in there. Very good.
7 to a 19. Woo!
I keep trying to hit my dice with my other dice and I can't do it. They keep missing. Okay. So I don't
but
know
see,
what that
that's
says.
Also fun.
So Jake Caldwell and Jasper, why don't you guys roll to see which deal the hatchling takes?
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Ooh, that's an 18. Can I chuck a dice at it?
You're yes. gonna get worse if you do that.
I got a 5. Can I chuck a dice at it?
Yeah, yeah, Jasper.
Everyone
yeah,
chuck
yeah.
a dice at your Every- dice.
I turned it into a 2.
I fucking missed.
Missed?
It's like a feta.
I missed the dice.
Well,
I also got an 18 with the chucked dice. That's amazing.
Wow!
Nice.
I turned my 18 into a 2.
I got a 10.
Okay.
Jasper.
With the chuck check, it's fleshy.
What a shame. We're not going to get a restaurant chain called Fleshy. What an absolute crime.
Okay. Other cheeky fleshies.
Disgusting.
Cheeky fleshies. No. This is so not okay.
Well, we've gotten completely lost in the tank, so why don't we go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to us more over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Wee!
Don't sing. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Jasper will be joining us as the turtles decide whether or not to invest their eggs in a few more magical items. Jasper, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Thanks for having me. This has been great fun. My eggs are very, very warm and ready to be scrambled into a brand new Three Black Halflings season. We'll be launching on the 27th. Of August.
Nice.
So make Hell sure yeah. you are subscribed to Three Black Halflings. It is going to be incredible. We've got some amazing guests this new season. I won't say too much, but we're returning to a previous world, which is absolutely incredible. And I am so, so stoked for it. We even got to film 2 of the later episodes in a D&D studio down in Bristol, and it looks so dope.
Wow.
So dope.
That's awesome.
Studios now?
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. So very excited for that. So yeah, go check us out, Three Black Halflings. And it's like at Three Black Halflings on, that's number 3 Black Halflings on Twitter, Instagram, and we're kind of on Facebook, but you know, Facebook. Who's on? We haven't posted on there for a while. Like occasionally someone will like our page or whatever, and I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Great.
Thanks. You should leave, but thanks.
I'll rejoin Facebook just to follow.
Sweet. Does anybody else have anything?
I think we might have live shows over on nadpod.com/live. There's also a solid chance that it's sold out. So, you know, go over and check it out.
This is the marketing you will get for Fleshy.
I'm just saying, our live shows should be a ride at Disney.
Yeah. The live show are arriving on Jake's standard time, so that's why they're a little unclear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still warming up.
Caldo, you got anything?
Yeah, I would love to plug some people that sent us things to our P.O. box real quick. Let's see. Jordan Beaver, who some of you might know, is the person that wrote the Tub Brisket one-shot.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Sent nice. Us a care package of Texas whiskeys and wines, and also a bunch of D&D court-themed slap bracelets.
How nice. Interesting that the wines didn't make it to our house, Caldwell. How interesting that Seuss about? Was willing to hang on to those.
you give us all of the big boxes and keep all of the wine. Interesting.
You know what? I have to go to the P.O. box once a goddamn week. Allow me my tariff. I'm skimming off the top, fleshy style, baby. Someone sent us each a t-shirt with a framed crayon drawing of Josh Allen. It seems like some sort of meme that I'm not aware of, but if you sent these, please give me an explanation for why you did this.
I think it's just the bit. We just
Josh
Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
It's just Josh Allen. Yeah. It's like a very weird drawing of Josh Allen. So
is
I thought
it like
maybe there
a
was
rendering
like
of a dolly or something like that? Like dolly that
like a generator?
Generator?
No, it's just like kind of a crude drawing of Josh Allen. So maybe they thought that was like the sort of Josh Allen energy we would want, which is true.
Oh, yeah, I did that. I sent that one in.
Yeah, that was
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Crude. Interesting.
Nathan T, or probably Jake again, sent us the first two chapters of the Hard Won backstory fanfic they've been working on.
Oh, no.
And a bunch of beers and hard craft beverages from the brewery they work for, which is called Rheingeist. Again, Jake, really generous of you to keep sending us this stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Happy to write a backstory for my old character.
Adriana S, aka Jake, sent us some pink duck dice. We got a lot in a duck dice, but we've never gotten a pink one. That is very exciting. Thank you. Nice. Let's see. Thank Maddie sent us a nice note and some very cute pawpaw stickers. Maddie also requested we give a shout out to their friend Sophie. Go, Sophie. Jasper, could you please shout out Sophie?
Sophie!
Was that what you wanted?
There we go.
Perfect.
And lastly, Dilton A. sent us a copy of Pillars of Pentagram, another D&D Endless Quest book. It's also worth mentioning that this book has a 25-cent sticker on it. Worth every penny, if you ask me. We'll definitely tuck into that at some point in
worth
the future.
Every egg.
Thank you so much, Dilton.
Someone sent specifically to me, but it didn't say who it was from. Something from a company called Gothic Slimes. I don't know if it was the company, but like it was addressed to dear customer. So I think someone else sent it of a slime, like a kid's toy that was called Creek Water. And I gotta say, it's fun to touch a slime.
We're talking delicious. Like a Gak-esque slime?
Yeah, it's like a Gak-esque slime, but it was like creek water, so it has like dirt in it.
Someone sent Emily dirty slime, yes.
they just went outside,
that for you.
Threw some slime in the dirt, and sent it to you guys.
Yep. Sweet.
Our fans are the best.
Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to our guest, Jasper William Cartwright, for joining us, and we'll be seeing him over on the Patreon. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at chmurfsme, at Caldy's Caldwell, at JGerwitz is Jake, at eXford is Emily, and Jasper, remind me your socials.
It is at JW_Cartwright.
And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD, that's NADDPOD.
We are the turds of a nation. We are
the turds of a nation.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
It's the end of our episode, which means it's once again time to shout out our benevolent, fantastic, superfluous Council of Elders. Let's get right to it! Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, Dylan B, who's missing his own D&D game to see NADPOD live in LA. Thank you again for coming, Dylan B. Hope you had a great time. Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Miss Tare Cole, Victor T, Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic P, Andrew B, Justin I, Ragnar Ferdwin, TJM, Treylay, The Cray, Jared E, Christopher B, Damiel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Unawakened Maxim with January Jones on the cover, Yowza, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Taylor S, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, Thaddeus Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B, Mike H, Martin P, Matthew E, Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew, who is no longer a bard after the incident in the Feywild. You gotta tell us more, Andrew. I need to know. Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Michelle O, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, hashtag Rise My Comrades, spread the camaraderie. It's a bad cause, but you gotta love the energy. New York, Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Stephen C, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Wit and Whimsy, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Mutton, the mad druid who has been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorph sheep for 3 weeks. Ugh, the count keeps growing. Come on, Mutton, you can do this. Foster, the original boneless duck. Aaron, the asshole ranger.
Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klasowski de Rolo III, Christian A., J. Dragonborn, Joe Rowe, the Inapropro, Liam D., the Sandrayan, Ben A., Feldonis, John III, Dave H., Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Rebecca G., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F., Wood Elf Theron, who is desperately trying to fix his oath bow. Good luck, Theron. Blair, the Bug Blair Blarblarian. Cat C. Kelsey J. Pork Chop. Ariel, the occasional mermaid. Selena N., a.k.a. Velaciraptor. Minette is evolving into Gyarados. Oh my god, we are all gonna die! Unless we catch you. Haha. Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Joshua D., Ryan S., The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robot Crisp, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, Insert Request here. Wow, you know what? This is controversial, but I would love if you could draw the Raccoonicorns. Seems cute. Bloops, Carly Ann, Addie K., AP Cleric, Lori P., Those Who Love and Give Where They Can, Spam Gaming, The Tatted Sailor, Grant L., Connor S., Christopher J. Pebblepot. How do you get a D&D player to go out with you? You ask them for a D8. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Kai, the Ham Sandwich, Sullivan H., Trub Hopdropper, Sydney Tatum, Jack Hubert Grillionaire, leader of the Mishima Clan, a spoon among raspberries. Oh, deep cuts all around. I love it. Pendergreens, Penis Colada. If you like Penis Colada. Moving on. Garble the Moist, Lindsay W., Juicy Kiwi, Saul's future life partner. Ah, can't wait to meet. Champ Wild, Valen, Beep, Barbarian Bastard Baby of Brian and Brennan. Carlin C., Louie is your centaur dad. Emily S., Harry Cox, Noah, the bagel of all things. Justin LeBee, Torley Skirmisher, Levi Little, Pindergreens, Pungent Pudding, hashtag CCC, hashtag Slangin' Rope, Dandy, Tunnel Monster Collective, Bunny, Marcos P., Pup Kalish, Learns, the Balanced Druid, Dakota J.P., Frida M., Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzed, Andy E., Holly Hyena, Kristen Z., Leia C., Paige H., Helen of Briz, Beatrix's Beautiful Baby Batter, haha, Pixel Stars, Akash T., Kristen with a K., Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Zero Parody, Neos, the Novice Monster Hunter, my new friend Simon. He was sad an old friend had forgotten him, but we cheered ourselves up by singing One Big Bed together. Lorelei Frost, Morgan M., Appealing Sticker, Stephen E., Mr. Adams, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F., Jimmy A., hi man, yeah, that's me, Cap'n Cappy, M4L, the Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Stormborn. Hope that clears up soon. Andrew B., Cope Fresh, Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Welshlander, Garrett G., a.k.a. One Big Curd, Eric M., Mr. D., Sean J., Mr. Sillyhead, Ethan B., Monster Captain Renee S., Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia, the enchanting bard, who will totally be making money off of the Duck Team's tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show. Sounds great, I gotta check it out. Blue Slay, the Artificer, Michaela R., Riley S., Sir Sig 93, Fico, Angry Wheat, The Game Itself, Chaos Camp, a.k.a. I Am a Smapfire, Tony G, Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC Forever, Sorry Jake, what about Sorry Caldwell? I feel like I should be apologized to as well. Josh H, Jack the Jack's Jinxing Rogue, In Search of Bohemia's Biggest Balls, Sammy underscore the underscore Neko, Mango Empanadas, Cora B, Timidar, who is now the coolest person in the Stormcrow clan, in your face, Mako, Rented Mules, Mystical Musteloidia, and Trogdor the Burninator. Trogdor! Whoo! And that is all of our shoutouts. And thank you so, so much for your unwavering, undying, unflagging support. It truly buoys me, and I stay afloat thanks to you. If you would like to join the Council of Elders, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. And that is it for this week. Thanks so much, friends. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.